flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is a Super Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Caitlin Clark is white.
Sports is sports.
Germany's a great city.
Spot north of
I'm gay.
At the club.
What is the Colorado Rockies?
Smiles and glory.
The fashion at the club.
You like that? You like that? Wow! I'm on the love.
Mr. Unlimited.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Smiles and glory holds.
Duval.
Still can't believe that is something that he says on a regular basis.
Smiles and glory holds.
No, I can't. He's an old guy.
I gotta believe that in his office he has a glory hole. I really believe that.
He doesn't know what it means.
Oh, he knows what it means.
No, dude, I don't think he does.
No, Jerry is knee-deep in hookers for the last, like, 40 years.
That's why he wouldn't need one.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Are you aware of what hookers do?
Yeah,
he's got glory holes.
I don't. No, I disagree.
I'm with the ordinary. He would not say it if he knew what it was. He's just an old senile man.
I have a firm belief that in Jerry's office, there's a button and just the hole opens up and he goes over to it. I'm convinced that that's like in every like in the yacht glory hole. That dude is all about it. Why else are you just randomly going around being like thinking of like what the best things in the world are?
What?
Like people say like, you know, sunshine and puppies, ice cream and rainbows, and he comes up with smiles and glory holes? Yeah, that's not coincidence.
Because it's oil, and that's how you get money. If you're on the glory hole in oil, you've struck the oil.
He's an old guy. All right, so I got Christopher Walken talk here.
Yeah, who, by the way, was indeed on the boat when Natalie Wood was murdered.
Really?
Yeah.
What was he doing there?
Well, they were filming a movie together. So she was married to Robert Wagner, and
Eye Patch Robert Wagner.
Yeah, Eye Patch Robert Wagner, that from Austin Powers. And Christopher Walken was on the boat, and that was when Natalie Wood, everyone's like, I don't know what happened. She just fell off the boat. And then when they pulled her the next morning, she had a bunch of bruises on her, and they're like, I don't know what happened. And she just, dude, she was murdered.
So are you insinuating that Christopher Walken knows what happened?
I think Christopher Walken, yes, has an idea of what happened and has never talked about it. And it's, wow. Look, it's, Robert Wagner was known to get a little handsy. He murdered her. They got in a fight, whacked her, she fell overboard, and then Christopher Walken shut up about it. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think Walken has always done the I was asleep, and, you know, I had no idea what was going on. Yeah, it was a 58-foot yacht called the Splendor's Captain. So it was Robert Wagner, Natalie Wood, Christopher Walken, and the captain. And
no
yeah.
staff?
No, that was it. Just at least that's what this says. And the captain has said that Wood and Wagner were arguing that evening, which Wagner denied. Okay. And then in his memoir, he did admit that he had an argument with her before she disappeared. The autopsy found Wood's body blood alcohol content was 0.14, and there were traces of motion sickness pills and a painkiller in her bloodstream. And then she had a bunch of bruises on her. And they ruled the accidental drowning and hypothermia. So
Robert Wagner still with us? He's old, right?
He's old. That I don't know if he's still around. But it's a lot of people believe OJ style that we got an idea what happened there.
Well, Christopher Walken did an interview in Wall Street Journal, and it's great. Because it's a pretty mundane interview. It's just him talking about Severance. You know, they sat down with him because he's in this show called Severance, which is on Apple TV.
And it's right now, it's kind of the, I think it's the best thing going on TV right now. It's really well done.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
He plays actually a likable good guy.
Yeah.
Which he Bert. Said, yeah, his name's Bert in the show. He said that's unusual for him, and he's really happy that he's able to finally play somebody who's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Well, he's known for having some edge to him.
So I just jotted down a few notes from this interview. Again, nothing groundbreaking here, but we've talked about Walken a lot in the sense that he's the guy who he's like cooking chicken.
Yeah.
In his
There's a YouTube video of him cooking kitchen. Chicken, and you can't take your eyes off of it.
And from his time on Saturday Night Live, like he's so good on SNL.
Yeah.
You just can't take your eyes off anything. Like, I would watch that guy driving. I just think he's fascinating.
And he's in arguably the most modern, it's the most famous modern SNL sketch of all time. And that's the more cowbell.
Cowbell.
I mean, you go back, I guarantee wherever he goes, people hit him with the cowbell. That, and it's probably one of the three or four most famous impressions anyone does is Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's universal.
So, a few facts. Well, actually, I should break, shouldn't I?
Where are we at? Oh, yeah, probably.
Okay, I'm going to break. The Christopher Walken facts you didn't know you needed. Does he have pets? What is his cell phone screensaver?
I would like to know more about Christopher Walken. I would also like to, like, in the confines of Hollywood, there's not many people that I would rather spend a day with just hanging out and eating and talking than Christopher Walken.
Well, he may not want to with you.
Exactly.
But remember Craig Gass? We had him in here the other
yes.
day?
Yes.
He told a great Christopher Walken story.
Yeah.
Walken was less than impressed with his Christopher Walken impression. Congratulations. You're talented.
Again, I'm sure that guy at this point is so tired of people doing his voice.
He's just such a different dude.
Yeah.
Some interesting facts about Christopher Walken next on The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
You know, I always thought I could be a great salesman.
Well, believe me, I could talk anybody into anything, except women into sex. That's the only thing I can't do.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Can I get a hot tub?
Okay, well, we're talking about Christopher Walken because he's awesome, and we love him.
Yes.
So he lives... So some facts about Christopher Walken that I pulled from his most recent interview with Wall Street Journal. He lives in Westport, Connecticut.
Oh, okay. So not an L.A. man.
Or New York. I kind of pictured him a New York guy.
I could see that.
A high-rise...
Where's he from?
New York City guy. That's a good question. I don't know.
All right, so he's in Connecticut.
Look up where he's from. I bet he's from New York. Because I know his parents were actors.
Well, what is that accent?
Eh.
That seems East Coast-y.
Yeah, it does. So he has lived in Westport, Connecticut for 50 years.
He's from, he's from New York.
Yeah, he's New York City guy.
He's New York City.
I think his parents were on, or one of them was on Broadway.
Maybe. Yeah, because he's like a, isn't he like a classically trained dancer?
Yeah, he's a child of the arts.
Yeah, he went to Hofstra, so he's East Coast through and through.
So he's lived in Connecticut for 50 years, right on the Long Island Sound. Mm. He married his current wife, who is a casting director, in 1969.
And still together, huh?
They are still together.
That's awesome.
They never have kids.
Georgina?
Georgina. They've never had kids. And he says that that's one of the reasons that he believes that he had a prolific career is that he never had kids.
Mm.
They asked him
somewhere. What, Rob's like, yes.
Well, yeah.
Damn kids.
He gets it.
Yeah.
They asked him what his morning routine is. Do you care to guess what he does? I want you to. What do you think Christopher Walken does when he gets up, and what time does he get up?
I'm guessing. Well, he strikes me as an early riser.
He gets up at 6:30.
I feel like there's like some sort of weird exercise routine. I'm gonna say yoga or some sort of band thing. Maybe a walk. I don't know. I picture him like in a headband with some, like, he's part of a silver sneakers club.
He says he gets up at 6:30, but he does not have breakfast because it makes him tired.
Of course.
He will sometimes walk on a treadmill, but the main thing he does is he feeds his cat. His cat is named Wolf, and he likes to chase Wolf around the house. He says it's fun for both of them, which just right there, yeah, I need video.
I could watch him chasing a cat all day long. I mean, like... Again, we need a reality show of Christopher Walken just waking up, walking on a treadmill, and then chasing a cat. Look at the laser pointer.
So he says he feeds his cat, he has OJ and coffee, and then he feeds the birds out on his deck, and then he watches the news. So he's basically like every other 81-year-old person, yes, in the world.
I feed my cat and then watch the news. Good. I just...
So then...
He's wonderful.
They asked him... So they asked him, how do you watch the news? So he offers up that he doesn't own a cell phone.
Of course.
He has never owned a cell phone.
Of course.
Which is also very on brand for what you think he is.
Yes.
He says when he needs a phone, he just asks to borrow someone else's.
That's a Bill Murray thing as well.
He has also never sent an email.
Like, when people say this, I'm often just stunned. Like, you've been an actor. So, like, you go back to the modernization of cell phones the last, 25 years and emails. So, I mean, he was in his 50s and 60s when this was coming about. You never once have sent an email?
He says he doesn't know how, he's never sent one.
So this has to be, he just has an assistant, right?
Well, sure.
That does all that stuff.
He's also never owned a watch.
Really?
He says that when he needs to know what time it is, he asks others for the time.
So he doesn't have a cell phone, doesn't have a watch. Although, one of his famous scenes is about putting a watch in his keister for 3 long years in Pulp Fiction.
That is true.
Which is kind of strange. You would think someone would have gifted the man a watch.
He says that the best acting advice he ever got was from an older actor when he was a younger actor, and they were leaving a set, and he was getting ready to walk out the door. And the actor told him, and he wouldn't name the actor, but he said the older actor said, be careful, as he walked out the door.
That's it? Just be careful.
Yes, yes. And Christopher Walken, they asked him about it, and he said, well, I have no idea what he meant, but I think about it every day. That's what he said.
be careful.
Yes, and he has no clue what that meant.
Well, it can mean whatever you want, I guess.
But he thinks about it every day.
Like Chinese, well, maybe he's careful every day. Huh?
Right?
Chinese fortune cookie sort of thing.
So weird.
All right.
Anyway, he and John Turturro, who is also in Severance, they are best friends.
Really?
Yes, they're besties. They have known each other for over 40 years, he said.
Oh, did they? Was it say where they met? That's kind of cute because they play like star-crossed lovers in Severance.
Yeah.
That's cool. I had no idea that they were close.
Yeah, they're buddies. He said that they will talk about everything but acting. Hmm. They mainly talk about food and restaurants. So, I mean, like, Christopher Walken is like the most normal guy of all time.
Yes. And doesn't that say something for a guy that's been in Hollywood for whatever it is, 50, 60 years, and he's managed to stay this grounded?
I don't know that I would say normal.
Okay, you're right. He's a little eccentric, but he's...
Yes.
He just does normal people things. Like, that. He just talks about...
Yeah.
I don't know. You'd think that he's a pretty in-depth... Like, he's a deep guy, right?
Yeah.
But his life isn't. Like, he's just, you know.
Very simple.
Plays with his cat. He chases his cat.
And maybe that's the key to being, avoiding any of those, again, the Hollywood pitfalls of, quote, be careful. He's managed to stay married to the same woman for all that time.
Yeah.
Lives away from everybody. Has managed a best friend for 40 plus years.
Yep.
You know, maybe Christopher Walken is just on to something.
He's got it figured out. And here's the weirdest little fact that he put in there. He said that... So they asked him how he watches the news because they were looking around his house going, you don't seem to have a lot of technology. You don't own a phone. You don't send email. How do you watch the news? He says, well, I have a satellite on the house. But then they asked,
I wanted to believe, by the way, that it's one of those satellite dishes when we were growing up.
Totally.
That's like literally like a NASA satellite dish. It's like 7 feet tall. I want it to be one of those.
Yeah. So Severance is on Apple TV.
Yeah.
So they asked him, well, how do you watch Severance?
He doesn't, does he?
He hasn't seen it.
No.
So he hadn't seen it, and he said that the only way he saw it was they mailed him DVDs of it. So he watches it on DVDs.
And I'm guessing he has a single slot DVD player that he bought, or someone bought for him. I'm going to say about 1999.
I mean, come
God bless America.
So those are the hot Christopher Walken facts that you didn't know you needed from his interview in the Wall Street Journal.
By the way, if you saw his Connecticut home,
am I looking at the right one?
This is his home in Connecticut. It just is.
Are you sure that's it?
Yeah. They said they own more than one home, but this is the residence that they spend the majority of their time at.
Okay, because the one I saw was a freaking mansion, but... You know, like you said, he probably has multiple.
Yeah, it says the couple owns more than one home, but this is, it's a decent-sized home, but it's not anything spectacular. And it might be the back of it. This is the back of it where it's like a beach house. I mean, it's a nice house, but it is not what you would, it is not what you would think someone like Christopher Walken lives in. But it's right there on the water, and yeah, this is his house, and he's cooking chicken, and here's his cat. This is making me rekindle my love of Christopher Walken.
He's great. Yeah. He's an American treasure.
He is an American treasure, and the world will be worse off when he's gone.
Can you imagine him watching sports? Like, you know he knows nothing and cares not about sports. You know that he would look down upon chuckleheads like us talking sports, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy, like, if you said, hey, who could you interview, like, of all the people out there, who would you want in studio?
Mm-hmm.
He would be in my top five.
Oh, 100%.
But there is zero chance it would go well.
Probably not.
I mean zero.
No. What are we going to...
He is so beyond...
And I'm guessing that would be a really tough nut to crack.
Oh my God, yes.
It would be problematic.
By all accounts, he's a tough nut to crack for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone asked me my top five Christopher Walken movies, and that's tough because... So many of his movies, he's a bit character, but he's an amazing bit character. The best movie where he's one of the main players is The Deer Hunter, which is unbelievable. It's one of the best movies of all time. But, like, his Pulp Fiction, to me, is a all-time great movie, and he plays a very, very small role in it, but he's tremendous in that. I think Suicide Kings is one of his best movies where he is one of the main guys. Also, there's a movie called The Prophecy, where he plays Gabriel, the angel of death. Phenomenal flick. And he is, like, built... If you want, like, Christopher Walken at his scariest, he plays a great... I mean, he's an angel, but he's an angel that you don't want to meet.
Rotten Tomatoes ranked his movies 88 through 1.
Also, too, if you want something a little more modern, I want to say it's maybe 10 years old, give Seven Psychopaths a try. He is phenomenal in that, and that is with, like, Colin Farrell, and it's really, really well done, and he plays... Honestly, I feel like he plays Christopher Walken. He just plays kind of an old guy that loves little dogs and doesn't care about anything.
Do you want to know... you want to know what they have?
Yeah, what do they got?
Number one is Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
Number two is Annie Hall from 1977.
Makes sense.
Woody Allen movie.
Yes.
Number three is The Jungle Book.
Oh, yeah, he plays King Louie.
Number four is True Romance. Yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about it.
Number five is Ants.
Oh, again, voice actor.
Animated. And then number six is Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Deer Hunter, number seven. And so on.
He was in... He played
Seven Psychopaths is number 11.
Seven Psychopaths is criminally underrated. It's one of those, if you're looking for a good movie, check it out. Wedding Crashers, he played a bit part in. I guess it wasn't a bit, but he was really good in Wedding Crashers. I'm trying to think of other stuff that he was... that he kind of played a small part in. There was one that I'm...
Balls of Fury, he's kind of a main person.
Yeah. There's one... I can't think of it. It's with Matthew Broderick, and it's when he was much younger. He plays an army drill sergeant, and it's really does. It's based on a Broadway play, Biloxi Blues. He plays a really, really good drill sergeant in the army, going off to World War II. He just is a really, really talented guy.
He's been in 88 movies.
Yeah, yeah.
His worst, a movie called Jiggly.
Can't say I ever saw that.
2003.
Yeah.
Bizarre and clumsily plotted, Jiggly is a mess. This is the... I'm reading the review here. Yeah. As for its stars, Affleck and Lopez lack chemistry.
That's Geely.
Oh, Geely. Yeah,
yeah, that's panned as one of the worst movies of all time. Yeah, I didn't know he was in that.
Yeah, he's in there. Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez, and him.
I did not know he was in that.
Geely. Envy. Kangaroo Jack.
Yeah.
Dirt 2, Beautiful Loser.
Hey, I never saw Joe Dirt 2, but the original Joe Dirt is not so bad.
I didn't know
they made a Joe Dirt 2.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either. They have the original Joe Dirt number 84 on his list of best movies.
He threatens to stab someone in the face with a soldering iron, which is pretty good.
Well, hopefully he stays with us for a long, long time because he's great.
Yes.
How worried are you about the big asteroid? Next on The Fan.
With Isaac and Suk.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotch is scotch, scotch.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Suk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Can I get a hot tub?
Well, some of us are rooting for the big asteroid to hit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not me.
Team Asteroid. Yeah, there are definitely people that are throwing their hands up at this point and being like, just come take us.
Hey, I like life.
Me too.
I don't need... We don't need no asteroid.
No, that's my thing. I understand things could be going better, and yeah, there's some stuff happening that makes me a little concernicus, but at the same time,
that's right.
We're fine. I'll be all right.
Yeah. We'll all be all right.
We'll be okay. I certainly don't want the asteroid to hit.
No.
I think this was one of the things
that might bother me.
What always bothered me growing up in the church a little bit was, like, people talk about the apocalypse, or like even like the whole, you know, second coming thing as like this glorious event, and they're like, like, there's going to be billions of people that are dead. Like, we have no idea what a global catastrophe is. None whatsoever. Like, we can't handle a wildfire or, like, a flood, a hurricane. Yeah, look through history what happens when one of these meteors slams into us. That's not, like, one of those things that, like, oh, we're going to have to rebuild in 6 months or 2 years. Nah, that's, like, setting humanity back a couple, you know, thousand years. It's a whole different ballgame. And yeah, there's people that are like, it's reset society. Yeah, no. Yeah, nuclear winter for the next 9 years and everyone's starving and dying. Yeah, no thanks. I'm good.
Well, we've got big asteroid news, Chase.
Yeah, it's getting close, right?
An asteroid with the power to unleash an explosion 100 times greater than an atomic bomb has triggered global space agency alarms.
Kind of like what we do here with the big snow blizzard that's coming. We set that's the right. weather alert.
The odds that the space rock, it has been dubbed Y4, It is nearly the size of a football field.
Yeah. By the way, can't we come up with something cooler than
Y4?
Y5. The odds... Ooh, I kind of like Y5.
There you go.
You know, like...
Y5 coming to kick your ass.
The odds that the space rock could hit Earth is now too close to ignore.
I don't like that.
They warn.
Yeah. I'm going to ignore it anyways, but because what the hell am I going to do? I mean, unless we send Bruce Willis up there to, you know, do Bruce Willis things, and he's in no condition, what chance do we have?
There's a science bro on here named Bruce Betts.
Mm-hmm.
The Spruce Bruce, as they call him at the lab. He says if you put it over Paris or London or New York, you basically wipe out the whole city and some of the environs.
Oh.
So they first observed this asteroid just after Christmas this past year, 2024. In Chile, and I don't really know how they assess the risk on this.
Nor do I.
I mean, it's just smart people doing smart people things.
There you go.
But they are saying that the likelihood of impact stands at 1.6%.
Okay. So that seems quite low, but I'm guessing in the grand scheme of stuff circling us, that's a very high number.
Yeah. I think it's significant number for them because they're always dealing in .00000. But I got to what are the percentages of us in various death scenarios? Like, because I don't really know what to think of 1.6%.
Well, like the chances of what's something that scares you? Airplane crash?
Yeah.
Car wreck?
Yeah. What's the airplane crash?
All right, let's look at airplane crash.
Because we've had a few of them lately. It's scaring people.
You got 1 in 11 million. So that's certainly less than 1%.
Way less. Okay.
Way less. Okay. So you got 1 in a million or 1 in 11 million every time you get on an airplane. Look, I'll tell you this right now. If you told me that I'm getting on an airplane tomorrow and there was a 1.6% chance, right, that plane goes down, guess who's not getting on the airplane? Me. I mean, that's, you can say that's insignificant. To hell it is. If I put a gun to your head and said, I get to pull this trigger 100 times, but one or almost two times in every 100 pulls, that goes off, hey, I'll give you some money. You're not doing that. 1.6% is a significant number when it comes to it's your ass, Mr. Postman.
I agree with that, but yet we won't worry a lick about this asteroid now, will we?
No, we won't. It's not good. Although someone does point out that Bruce Willis meteor was the size of Texas. This is not a global killer. This is a city I'm going to F you up.
Well, it depends where it hits.
That's true.
Is what it's saying. But the likelihood of impact stands at 1.6% and moving at a speed that would meet Earth by 2032.
I got some time.
You got a little time.
I got a little time.
Wouldn't we be able to tell where it's coming and then just leave?
I think so.
Just leave.
Really?
Just
Did
leave.
You just say Jesus. Just leave?
Yeah, if it's going to hit Paris, don't live there.
So New York City, you leave?
I would, yeah.
I don't think that's the way that works, and I don't think you
get... It's a tough one.
I don't think you get that much time to figure that out. When something's coming at you at several thousand miles an hour.
Are you in this scientist room?
No, but I don't think that's the way that works. I do. I am always fascinated by ancient history, and I like the kind of how we got to be here. And there's a bunch of different theories and all this, but it is alarming how often over the course of human history, not just human history, but the Earth's history, how many times stuff hits us. And all the science bros are tell everyone, it's not if. We get hit all the time. We just haven't been around to write it down, or no one's been left to write it down. it will happen. Hopefully not in our lifetime, but at some point in the future, someone's going to be on the air doing some sports talk radio, and someone's going to look up and be like, oh, well, that's not good. What happened? Half the planet just got eliminated. It's insane. Or a super volcano, or one of the big earthquakes hits, and I don't know, California falls into the ocean, or I don't know, half of Oregon and Washington mountains collapse. We've never been around in modern human history to actually experience a global cataclysm, and yet they happen all the time in Earth's history.
Potential crash sites include the Eastern Pacific Ocean, And as Will says, just don't live there.
Well, I'm guessing the ocean is the most likely to hit because, well, the ocean. It's quite
pretty big.
It's pretty big. What is it? Is it three quarters or whatever of the
ocean
Earth?
Water.
Sure. Is the ocean?
They are saying the Atlantic Ocean. So the Eastern Pacific, the Atlantic, the Arabian Sea, and then they just put Africa.
71% of the Earth, by the way, covered in water. So chances are...
Also, Northern South America.
So don't live any of those places.
Don't live there. Yeah. And don't live in South Asia.
Yeah.
Then we're good.
So it looks like we're a little too north.
Yeah. So we're we're fine. Till it hits off
the I don't know how they know that.
Till it hits off the Pacific and it causes the 200-foot tidal wave that comes and washes out in, I don't know, like Idaho.
Well, you've been telling me to move to Nebraska. I'll be fine.
That is true. You know, if you do want to, you know.
What's in Nebraska?
What's happening in Nebraska? If something does hit in the ocean, the tidal wave's not hitting you in Nebraska.
I'll be fine.
Oh, I thought you. I thought he meant you were telling him to move to Nebraska, like, just
no,
because.
I complained about housing prices once, and I was quickly told to move to Nebraska.
Right.
Well, that is.
Sook don't want
to
hear it.
Well, that is. I hear that from, like, my kids and everybody. It's like, I'll never be able to buy a house. I'm like, no, you won't be able to buy a house in San Francisco. You can get a lovely two-bedroom right now in Lincoln. You just don't want to live in Lincoln.
Lincoln's all right.
Good
I mean,
volleyball team.
Can you look up a nice two-bed in Lincoln?
Yeah. Although Lincoln's probably a little higher than you think. I'm thinking more like Tulsa would probably be a nice... Like, you want a big enough city. Okay, so what do we find the most livable city where, but you're like, no one wants to be there? Is it Lincoln?
Omaha?
Yeah, you want to go Omaha?
I've been to all of those.
Interest you in a Cheyenne?
I bet you can get a really good deal in Cheyenne.
I bet you that.
I'd rather live in Cheyenne.
I've been to Cheyenne. No, you don't.
Really?
There's nothing. Like, there's nothing.
You think there's something in Lincoln, Nebraska besides Nebraska football?
It's a real city. Cheyenne is not. Like, it's there's more buffalo than there is people in Cheyenne.
Although they do have
the Cheyenne Frontier Days, which is lovely.
I was going to say, if you're going to go off the grid, might as well do it somewhere like Cheyenne. It's beautiful.
I can look it up.
That's a little cold, though. I'm going to go warmer. So I'll go Tulsa, but I don't feel good about it.
Right,
Tulsa sucks.
Look at Tulsa Homes.
Very religious.
Oh, I just typed in accidentally. I made the mistake. I typed in Tulsa Hose.
Ooh.
Whoops.
Hey, now.
I did not want Tulsa Holes or Hose for sale. Well, I stopped myself before I hit enter, but don't worry. I'll go back. Take a look at that. Let's look at the old Redfin. Oh, here you go. You right now in Tulsa, you can get a lovely... And this looks nice. Three bedroom, two bath, 1,400 square feet, $159,000.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Nice place? Like new construction?
Yeah, it looks like new construction.
$159,000?
$159,000. And yes, this does look like new construction or completely remodeled.
Is it one of those like cookie cutter homes?
Oh, it looks nice.
Where they all have the same
acreage.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
What kind of land?
On a 12,000 square foot lot.
Mm, okay.
So still in the burbs.
If you want something that's a little more lived in, you can get a three-bedroom, two-bath, 950-square-foot home. Again,
that's
nice,
tiny.
Nicely remodeled. Looks all brand new inside.
All right.
$119,000.
God.
Dude, I could actually put a down payment on that.
And if you want like a nice, like this is a nice home here, three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,800 square feet. This one is not new construction, but it has been completely redone, and it is nice. $239,000.
Looks like we know where you're going.
I was going to say, anyone want to hire me to do sports radio in Tulsa?
How long before you're sick of Tulsa and want out?
I don't know. I feel like I'd be living like a king from those prices.
And they, I mean, there's some expensive homes.
Although I'm not very liquid right now.
But here is one, so here is over 3,000 square feet, very nice brick. On almost an acre, three-car garage, four-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath. Beautiful. Like, you know, this is a million-dollar home in Portland. Care to take a guess?
Yeah, I think it's probably 375, four.
Yeah, we're looking at 408.
Yeah.
Mm. On a really, really, really nice home in Tulsa.
Look, Ortner, you have options, okay?
Oh, yeah, I have options.
A lot of places like Tulsa.
Never loved all my options.
Well, that's all I'm saying. Like, I feel bad because I get it. Like, for young people, the idea of home ownership is daunting. My kids talk about this all the time. And I wish that you could just buy a home wherever you want. But whenever I hear people say that, it's always like, I want to be on the coast. It's when you watch Property Brothers, right? It's like, our budget is $9. I want ocean views. I want a Craftsman, you know, it's like all these things. And it's like, well, I would love to drive a lot of people would love to drive the nicest Mercedes in the world, or you want like a Cadillac Escalade or whatever your luxury car is. But, you know, sometimes you got to drive a Honda Accord. And I'm sorry, but the middle of the country is the Honda Accord. So you either can ride an old bicycle and then live where you want to live and be pissed about it. Or if you want to buy a home, I don't know, then especially if you're like a teacher, you can move to other parts of the country and be a teacher.
Yeah, Will, you bitch. What do you mean about that?
I am only certified to sub.
I'm going to look at Cheyenne now. I want to see what Cheyenne's home.
What do you think of that dad talk you just got from Big Sook?
I knew what, just like when I poked you about Kansas, I knew what I was getting into.
Yeah. Poking the bear. Cheyenne, I'm going to say, boy, it's tiny. Like 20,000 maybe people? Yeah,
there's not a lot of people.
What about
there?
Pittsburgh?
PA?
About Pittsburgh.
You know what? Cheyenne is alarmingly expensive.
I bet you Pittsburgh is fairly cheap for a big city.
Well, all these homes, by the way, are on acreage.
Yeah, you get a lot of land out there.
Get a lot of land. But yeah, not as cheap as you would think.
Well, it's...
there's probably not a lot of inventory.
I mean, look, I hate to say this.
Oh, here you go. Never mind. You can...
what?
If you go down for, like, those were really nice homes that were popping up at the beginning, again, you can buy a home for, you know, $160,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll retract my statement then. Okay, we'll wrap it up next on The Fan.
And Sook. Sitting on a cloud of judgment, handing down life lessons to all the sinners.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sook is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Double Sun Power!
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you.
We got to go?
No. Why would you say that?
I thought we were up against it.
Nah.
My computer is a few minutes. My computer says 657, so I was like, whoops, went a little long.
Your computer's wrong.
Stupid computer.
We're looking at Christopher Walken doesn't have one.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, we got caught up in looking at...
we're looking at real estate in different towns.
You got to move to the Midwest. Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, I've been there.
You want to move to Springfield?
I do not want to move there. I've been there. That town sucks. No,
it sucks. But the thing that they have going for it is Bass Pro Shops headquarters is there.
Yeah.
So we just, you know, you and I have a buddy who just moved there, got a corporate job there. And they have kind of it's a lot of jobs and a lot of people that make a little money.
Like, that's Bentonville, Arkansas is like that.
Kind of like that. But the town of Springfield, but it's a proximity to the Ozarks.
Yeah. Well, you can get a lakefront house, like dock and everything, for like $500,000. Mm. And there's some nice stuff.
Did you watch Ozarks the show?
I watched the first season and a half, and then I lost interest.
So if you see the house that they have in that show, and that kind of that area that they film in, that is what the Ozarks is like.
Yeah, you can.
It's pretty nice.
You can get some.
Or it can be.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of value in the middle part of the country that people don't want to.
If you like mosquitoes,
and flat land,
humidity,
it's your spot.
Hey, but if you want a nice house.
And that's right, Will.
Pay accordingly, too.
That's true, too.
Like, teaching down there would not make it easier for me to get a house.
Well.
Not necessarily.
It's all relative. You know?
Teachers out here.
You'll make less, but you'll pay less.
Right. But teachers out here, like, they make enough money to have good houses. Teachers do just fine.
They do. That is I'm all for paying our teachers, but I will say that the whole teachers don't make any money thing.
Depends on the state.
It's getting better. Yeah, it depends on the union. Yeah. And
especially like
Washington teachers do better than Oregon teachers.
There's like principals and especially like athletic directors and stuff. They're doing just fine.
Well, athletic director positions aren't really there. At least not at the high school level.
I had a buddy of mine that I in my jiu-jitsu class that had to cross the picket lines today for the nurses.
Oh, yeah?
Hadn't had a check in over a month. Said he can't do it. He said it sucked, but he crossed today.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, just, you know.
Is this Providence that's still?
Providence.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it's been going on for months, and he was pretty heartbroken about it today. It was pretty tough, but he just, it's like, I can't. He's like, I have to get a check. So today it was a rough go. He was leaving class and was saying he was going to work, and I was like, "What? You're going back to work?" He's like, "Eh,
nah, don't tell anybody."
Yeah. It's like, shh.
All right, big show tomorrow. You know why?
Tuesday.
Well, and we don't have a Wednesday.
That's right. So we got to pack. We love our Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So now we got to pack the Wednesday.
It's a big show tomorrow.
Into Tuesday.
Big show tomorrow. Be here with us, won't you? 3 to 7 on the Fan. Good night.
Of space.